everyone. Welcome to the Assisting Victims of Mortgage Fraud podcast series presented by the National Crime Prevention Council and the Office for Victims of Crime, U.S. Department of Justice. Thousands of people are victimized each year through mortgage fraud. Although new laws and protections have been put in place to address this issue, mortgage fraud schemes have been particularly resilient and have adapted to economic changes and modifications in lending practices. The latest mortgage fraud information from the FBI cites three main reports. Number one, in 2011, there were $7.4 billion in fraudulent residential mortgages. Number two, as of fiscal year 2012, there were 69,030 suspicious mortgage reports with losses of $2.6 billion. And lastly, as of June 2012, there were over 2,300 pending investigations with 71% involving losses of $1 million or more. This podcast series invites experts from the field to share the latest emerging trends, information, and success stories in mortgage fraud. We hope you find this series beneficial to your work and the resources presented helpful. I am your host, Katie Cummings, Program Associate with the National Crime Prevention Council. We hope you find this podcast beneficial to your work and the resources presented helpful. For more information on the National Crime Prevention Council and our work in mortgage fraud, please visit us online at ncpc.org/mortgage fraud. The topic of today's podcast interview is seniors and mortgage fraud. We will get a summary on how counseling services counsel serve seniors and what economic factors seniors face. We will also focus on seniors, why seniors are vulnerable to scams, some of the more common scams, and how they lead into mortgage and reverse mortgage fraud. Our guest presenter is Mr. Todd Mark, Vice President of Education with the Consumer Credit Counseling Services of Dallas. Todd directs a team dedicated to educating and empowering consumers and promoting financial literacy through training. He has appeared as an expert guest on CNN's Dollar Signs and Headlines News, as well as the Dallas Morning News and as the co-host for a weekly radio show. He holds a bachelor's degree from Indiana University and is a certified credit and housing counselor through the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. Now, it is my pleasure to welcome Mr. Todd Mark. Great to have you, Todd.
Thank you, Katie, for having me.
So I wanted to start out with asking, what role does the Consumer Credit Counseling Service serve in counseling seniors?
Well, CCCS serves the entire financial spectrum, from financial health to financial crisis. And my organization, of the CCCS of Greater Dallas, it's been unique that during the recession, we've truly seen an aging of our clientele. And the fastest growing population that we serve are those that are at or near retirement age. But in general, how do we serve not just seniors, but general population? As a 40-year-old nonprofit organization, we provide free budget and credit counseling, whether in person or over the phone. We do free housing counseling, and we are a HUD multi-state organization. So we provide pre-purchase counseling, post-purchase counseling, rental counseling, reverse mortgage counseling for those 62-plus looking to tap the equity in their home. And probably some of the most important work we've done has been our foreclosure prevention work. And we are honored to be one of seven nationally HUD-approved housing agencies that take the calls from what is essentially the federal triage line for making home affordable, the 888-995-HOPE hotline. In addition to our housing services, we provide free financial education, and we do 41 different topics as free live webinars that we do that people can find at cccs.net/webinars, but we also do classes in person in the states that we have physical locations. We offer debt management for those overwhelmed with credit card debt, not settlement or negotiation, but if people are trying to get interest rate concessions from their creditors, we'll work with them and their creditors to come up with a plan where they can pay off their bills in 3 to 5 years. For those who have no means of paying on their bills and their only options left are legal options, we are approved through the U.S. Trustee's Office to provide the federally mandated pre-filing bankruptcy counseling and pre-discharge bankruptcy education per the Reform Act from 8 years ago. And finally, this year, in 2013, we've started offering free student loan default counseling as well to address the $1.1 trillion of student loan debts, and we're one of nine members of the National Student Loan Alliance. So that's a little bit about CCCS, and again, those services, not just for seniors, but for everybody.
Well, and through providing all those programs and offering all those resources, What are some of the economic factors that you've noticed that seniors face most today?
Well, let's face it. The aging of our clientele is really multifaceted. And as we look back, you think just in the last 13 years, what has happened from a financial standpoint? Well, as we went from the tech bubble bursting, following that with 9/11, we then had an economic recovery leading right into the credit crunch, the housing crisis, and the Great Recession. And then, of course, most recently, we've seen some of the major stock indices setting new highs. So there's been a lot of volatility over 13 years, and it was not a straight line of growth. It was a lot of ups and downs that scared many people away from their traditional financial plans and from some of their investments. So you've got a lot of folks that are at or near retirement now whose retirement nest egg is truly cracked, and their plans may be scrambled. So they're panicked and trying to say, how do I catch up? Some of the other factors that they're facing, though, certainly of interest of late with the introduction of the Affordable Health Care Act, is just the spiraling costs of health care for those that are in retirement. And it may be way more than they planned as they were saving for their retirement over the last 30 or 40 years, that the health care costs are more than they were expecting. So you roll that on top of the fact that during the last 13 years, maybe they didn't get a couple of chances to double their money because we didn't have the straight-line traditional growth. So they've got less money in their retirement, and now they've got higher costs when it comes to health care. Well, what else? As part of dealing with the recession, federal monetary policy has kept interest rates at historic lows, which is great if you are a borrower, but not so great if you are a senior and you were really counting on some interest income to help subsidize your monthly expenses. So low interest rates and these historically low rates have hurt savers. In addition, many people have tried to tap their bank, their house as a piggy bank, and then looking to use equity, whether it's from sale of the home, refinancing, pulling equity out from a home equity line or home equity loan, or even doing a reverse mortgage. But the housing crisis meant that property values fall, and so seniors have had less money to tap from within their home. Now, most people would say, well, they can at least go back to work and help subsidize and do some gap funding by bringing in extra income post-retirement. Except we've even at 7.3% right now, I know that's going in the right direction, but unemployment is still pretty high, and when you've got one out of every 12 people that are looking for work that don't have it, they're not just competing with other seniors, they're competing with 18-year-olds just out of high school. They're competing with 24-year-olds who've graduated from college, and yet they have no work. So, and then the final economic factor that we've seen a lot of seniors facing as they come to CCCS of Greater Dallas is because of the recession, we've seen a lot of boomerang families where we've had kids and grandkids moving back into the household. And so let's say those that are at or near retirement age, they weren't impacted directly through the recession, but the impact on their children means that they're absorbing some of the hit. And as the kids and grandkids move back in, they're absorbing the costs of food and higher utilities, or maybe help subsidizing debts that were accrued during a period of unemployment for those kids. And that, too, has been a financial factor that's kind of left them in a troubling place. And, of course, all of this outside of the layoffs don't address the traditional bad things that happen to good people at any age in the life cycle, whether that is layoff, divorce, medical catastrophe, death in the family, even car crashes or natural disasters. So those are the many factors, but specifically economic factors that we've seen that really explains why seniors are the fastest growing segment of the population that we serve.
Well, and so how then do you explain this being such an experienced population that has been saving for years and making large purchases and is now being responsible for taking care of these younger generations? How are they so susceptible and vulnerable to these scams and to mortgage fraud?
Well, you know, the older we get and as we move toward retirement and in our golden years, I think there's there's a generational sense of trust and the good nature and intentions of others. There's also a desire for generosity and giving and helping out, whether that's family or donating to local charities and other funds. So when you combine the desire to do good and serve your community, as well as a higher level of trust, and then you combine that maybe with what could be a technological divide, and we certainly see some seniors that don't have the same techno-savvy that our younger generations do, but they're online. So they may not be aware when there's a phishing scam, a fake email that comes through that they suspect is from their financial institution, and it's really a bad guy, a shyster who's really trying to hijack their bank accounts, their checking, their savings accounts, or raid some of their financial investments. They're more trusting when that phone call comes in, and it's somebody that says that they're looking for donations or they're soliciting help, and they don't realize as they give out a checking account number or they give their credit card number that those are going to be tapped not for donations, but they're going to be ripped off. So there's a lot of reasons when you combine the good nature, and then you combine how technology has been really used to advance the agenda for some of these shysters, the schemers, the perps of the world, to take advantage of the good natures of those that are near retirement age.
And I noticed that you mentioned phone calls and solicitors that reach out to seniors. And what would you say are some of the other common scams that seniors fall victim to? Is it mostly phone calls?
You know, one, Katie, one of the worst things I was ever part of was an AG in Georgia invited me to be part of a reverse boiler room scam. They had busted a boiler room that was specifically targeting seniors, and they had 10,000 seniors, and with the scripts of how to earn their trust and get them to give their banking and credit card information. And it was so horrible to see. And what the AG did was a really powerful thing. They flipped it, volunteers would continue to call these folks, read through the script, and just as it's working, saying, please don't give us this information. If we were a bad guy, you are about to give the keys to your house or the keys to your financial, your savings. So you need to be more protective. And we would also encourage them to maybe talk with their adult children, which they're oftentimes reluctant to do and to admit, I was almost taken advantage of. And that's a desperate situation. One of the reasons why many seniors are defrauded and it's not reported, as they're often afraid of reporting this for fear of losing their own independence, for admitting that they can't take care of themselves. So I would always encourage to all of our listeners, especially to reach out to their own, the seniors within their family and asking what's going on or spending that time with them so that you can see if there's any telltales that they've been taken advantage of.
Well, and then one quick question before we wrap up here. What advice would you give to attorneys and victim service providers that deal with youth or seniors?
Well, certainly finding out early on if they've been taken advantage of, if they've been defrauded in any way, the sooner in the warmer the trail that there can be some investigation. And we always try to link the seniors with the appropriate resources. And if those are legal resources, we do a lot here in Dallas, Texas, with the Dallas Bar Association, with Legal Aid of Northwest Texas. So finding the appropriate resources within your own community, the legal resources and the federal resources. If it's a housing scam and we're worried about somebody who bought a home and that was not worth what their mortgage was, and there was something fraudulent with their appraisal, or they were pushed into a product that they didn't understand, and certainly when it comes to reverse mortgages, which are only for those 62 plus. Which is exactly why HUD mandates counseling with a HUD-approved reverse mortgage counselor from a HUD agency. But taking advantage of the housing resources and beyond legal, escalating up through the government resources and watchdog groups and investigators to help them if they've been taken advantage of. But of course, the best cure is the prevention that you can do on the front end.
Okay. Todd, thank you so much for joining us today. This podcast is presented by the National Crime Prevention Council and the Office for Victims of Crime, U.S. Department of Justice. This podcast series is supported by grant number 2011 VSGXK021. Points of view or opinions in this podcast are those of the author and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice and the National Crime Prevention Council. Thank you.
Thank you. Please stand by.